The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus says to them, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
We're going to dive into the topic of judgment today. It's a topic that I would rather avoid. I can rationalize my avoidance in the way that the judgment of God has been mispreached, weaponized, and abused. The way that fear and not love has been used to manipulate and coerce people into a hollow shell of Christianity. While true, I would rather avoid the topic of judgment because explored rightly, it begins with me. St. Augustine of Hippo once said, "If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself." And the more that I tried to avoid preaching on judgment, the less gospel I found. I pray today that the Holy Spirit will guide us to the fullness of the good news of the kingdom of God as we explore this topic of judgment today. In our text today, we continue in the second of the five discourses of Jesus that are recorded in Matthew's gospel. This one is Jesus sends the 12 out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 2 weeks ago, we explored the mission of the kingdom, the mission to manifest the kingdom by proclaiming the power and authority of the kingdom in word and deed, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and casting out demons. The call to be with Jesus, to do what Jesus does, and to invite others into life in the kingdom. Last week, we explored the clash of kingdoms as the kingdoms of idols and of the world will resist the kingdom of God. This battle between kingdoms begins in ourselves. And then we carry this battle into the world as the church. We go gifted in the Spirit, in authority and power, an authority and power that is different and challenging to the world, as we are given to the mission of the church by the Holy Spirit as apostles, as evangelists, prophets, teachers, and pastors. And we ended the passage last week with this transitional statement. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This statement summarizes the clash we encounter between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of heaven. And it introduces today's reading describing the judgment of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." The sword. Either the sword of God or the sword of the nations around Israel is a sign of judgment throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus declares that the messianic mission of peace, the restoration of shalom, the restoration of all creation as it should be, comes with judgment. Not the judgment of the nations around Israel, but the judgment that begins with Israel itself. Not a judgment of those who are outside, but of those who are inside. This judgment begins with us. Jesus goes on and references the prophet Micah. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemy will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Micah is a prophet of judgment and redemption. I read and reread Micah about 3 or 4 times this week. I invite you to do the same. In the coming week, it's challenging and refreshing. It's a foretelling of the gospel. Micah begins with a condemnation of both kingdoms, the fallen and exiled kingdom of Israel and the wavering kingdom of Judah. He lists the wrongs of Judah, the oppression of the poor, those who silence the prophets, wicked rulers, false prophets eager for selfish gain, idolatry and empty ritual, cheating and violence. Interspersed in this listing of evils is the promise of restoration, the promise of redemption, the call to repentance, the call to walk again as the people of God, and the promise of the Messiah. Then we come to the summary of Micah's prophecy, in which he describes the day of judgment, the day that the kingdom will be restored. And on that day, in selfishness and bitterness, even family turns against itself, as Micah says. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms, for the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Like Micah, Jesus follows this description of familial strife with a call of faithful hope. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus calls us to the judgment of the cross. He calls us to be crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And to know that if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So that we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Jesus calls us to the judgment of the cross. Then Jesus describes the way in which the 12 and the church are sent as ambassadors, carrying the name and authority of Christ and of the Father. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. We are sent as ambassadors of the gospel. Whoever receives us and the gospel through us receives Christ and receives God the Father who sent us both. He tells us that we go as prophets, as the righteous, and as little ones. See, in the teaching of Jesus, often when we see a list of 3 things, we can expect a degree of irony. The first 2 set up an expectation contrast to the third. If we think about the familiar description of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king, we see here, you go as a prophet. You go as the righteous. You go as the ruler, the elder, the powerful. No, you go as the little ones. In this, we should see the humility and poverty, the lowness in which we are sent. We are not high and lifted up. Only God is high and lifted up. We go carrying the gospel humility and lowness. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel just a little bit judged here. But I'm going to press a little bit farther into this image-rich passage as Jesus describes the judgment of the kingdom. I don't know what images this passage evoked in you or in the people that were around to hear Jesus speak these words. But I'm reminded of some of the other passages of Scripture that make me uncomfortable. Some of those others that I'd rather reject so that I could go on believing my own gospel and not the gospel of Christ. Let's start within the five discourses of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. Like the second discourse, the first discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, concludes with words of judgment. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many great works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And the third discourse, the parables of the kingdom, conclude with this. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Likewise, the fourth discourse, the description of life and community as the kingdom, ends with a warning regarding the judgment of those who refuse to forgive. And the final discourse is all about judgment at the end of the age. It concludes with Jesus separating the sheep from the goat, the nations one from another, some to his right, others to his left. And this final condemnation to those who are on the left, those who are not of the kingdom. Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. All five of the major teachings in Matthew's gospel, the all that I have taught you of the Great Commission, end in a warning of judgment. The imagery of the sword and of the conflict within families reminds me of the disturbing passage in Exodus. As Moses comes down from the mountain of the Lord and finds the people worshiping the golden calf, Moses cries out, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp. Each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of the Lord. In that day, about 3,000 men of the people died. And Moses said to the sons of Levi, "Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that God might bestow a blessing upon you in this day." That's the passage that Jesus calls to mind when he says, "I come with a sword." Jesus' condemnation of a shallow peace, a false peace that does not destroy evil and death, a peace that is absent the cross, reminds me of Jeremiah who prophesies, "For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." I'd rather avoid the topic of judgment. Most days, I'd rather avoid looking at my own brokenness and woundedness. I'd rather proclaim peace and be healed lightly. But that would be my gospel and not the gospel of Christ. So where does that leave us today? Too often, indeed, this topic of judgment, this way of judgment, has been weaponized to separate the self-righteous, the self-proclaimed good ones, from those who are in desperate need for the love and healing of Christ. Or sometimes we've picked a sin that we think is worse than ours, so that we can condemn others and we never have to face our own need for forgiveness, healing, and restoration. Today, instead, let us look to the judgment in the way of the kingdom. The judgment of God marks the victory of the kingdom of God over sin and death. This is the judgment that we celebrate at this table as we participate in the death and resurrection of Christ, who trampled sin and death under his feet. This is the judgment to which we are called and sent, to heal the sick. Notice, we're not called to condemn the sick or ignore their sickness. We're called to heal. This is the judgment to which we are called and sent, to raise the dead. No longer does death separate us. No longer does contact with the dead make us unclean. Instead, the life within us, the life we live in Christ, brings life and light to those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. This is the judgment to which we are called and sent, to cleanse the lepers. No longer do we judge who to exclude by the disease in their skin or by any modern equivalent. Neither do we call uncleanness clean. We do not pretend that the brokenness within us or in others is normal or whole, right or proper or good. This would be healing wounds lightly. Instead, we're called to cleanse and restore, to welcome and to heal. This is the judgment to which we are called and sent, to cast out demons. We can no longer normalize or rationalize the evil that we encounter. We cannot simply avoid those who are oppressed and held captive. We're called to stand as ambassadors of the kingdom against the evil, oppression, idolatry, and wickedness that we encounter. We are sent as prophets to speak the truth of God. We are sent as the righteous to manifest the righteousness and the justice of God. We are sent as the little ones, not in the corrupt ways of power, manipulation, and coercion, the ways of power that the world expects. Instead, we are sent as humble servants. We are sent in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.